Hello, friends. We're back in the Psalms, and today the whole earth shouts for joy. Psalm 66 is the sort of song meant for stadiums, meant to make the whole world a stadium. In verse 1, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. The psalmist is joyous, and we have some clues as to why. Verses 10 to 12 describe some serious trials, prison, burdened backs, going through fire and water. Ever been there? But verse 19 tells us that he cried out to God and God listened. This psalm is a loud and jubilant response to answered prayer. Do you know that feeling when God comes through? Things were bad. You poured out your heart and God answered. And you know it was God. Eyes open wide, chest lifts up, and you just want to shout. Shout to God for joy. You're so blown away that God heard you, you want the whole world to shout. There's just not enough shout in your little lungs to give God his due. That's Psalm 66. So what's the big occasion? The psalm doesn't tell us when it was written or who wrote it. Some scholars believe that this whole series of psalms in the 60s have a prophetic intent to be fulfilled in the tribulation, and they put this one at the close of the tribulation, when God really comes through. But regardless, whether this is for end-time saints or for you and I going through our own trials and tribulations, Psalm 66 is some earth-shaking praise. Now as we read, pay attention to whom the psalmist is singing. He begins singing to everyone. Back in verse 1, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. The song bursts out the starting blocks with a shout. To feel this psalm, you have to feel that shout. Have you ever felt the energy of a whole stadium shouting, of 100,000 joyous shouts reverberating in your chest as you join in? That's the joy the psalmist calls for, the joy of God's deliverance. Verses 1 to 9 are sung to us, to all peoples. He wants us to sing glory, to make God's praise glorious. That's a great reminder for worship leaders. But what does it mean to make praise glorious? Is glory loud? Is it masterfully composed and brilliantly arranged? Surely that's all fitting. But what does glory actually mean? The Hebrew word kabod literally means weight. It indicates something with substance that lasts. In the Bible, glory and vanity are opposites. On the great balance of God's eternal scales, vanity weighs nothing, but glory is heavy. You know that feeling at a store when a product looks great, but the moment you pick it up, you know it's too light. It's flimsy. There's no substance. A cheap electronic, a brick made of foam. That's vanity. Do you think that God ever feels that way with our praise? When the words say all the right things and the tune is all pretty and sweet, but the lives of those singing are a long ways from worshipful. Make his praise glorious. Give it weight, substance, not just empty words. Make it real. Verse 3. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. True praise is about his works. His deeds are awesome. In Old English, the word awesome was translated terrible, as in striking awe and terror in the heart. Back in verse 3, so great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. In verse 5, he's still singing out to all the people, but now there's an invitation. Some people don't yet recognize how great God is, so he invites us. Come and see. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. Come and see. Check it out for yourself. You gotta see this. Verse 6, He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. The first awesome deed to witness is parting the sea. The Exodus story. God led his people out of slavery to the very edge of the sea. They were trapped between army and sea, and God came through. He turned the sea into dry land. Now, I don't think this psalm was written in that time, but for God's people, that story became a reminder for all times of how God works. He's done it before, he'll do it again. He parted the seas, and we made it through. Rejoice. Having seen his work, verse 7 recognizes his power. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. And in verse 8, still talking to the peoples, the psalmist calls us back to praise. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Okay, so sometimes making it glorious does mean making it loud. It's meant to be heard. And why make it loud? Because he saved our lives. Verse 9. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. We were on the ledge. He held us back. So get loud. And right here, the psalmist turns away from the peoples of the world and talks directly and quite personally to God. Verse 10. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. Watch those words. God tested us. That's why the praise needs to be glorious. That's why they're shouting. They went through fire. They went through water. People rode over their heads. Now there's a vivid picture. But the psalmist recognizes all that fire for what it is, refining. That doesn't mean that God caused the hard things, but he does use them. He refines our faith with fire, melts it down like gold, and pulls out the dross. He makes it purer, stronger, more resilient. And that refined faith shines through in this psalm. And when it was all done, God brought us to a place of abundance, restored. And then, still talking directly to God, still making it personal, the psalmist responds, I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you, vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. The psalmist is determined. Three times he says, I will. He's determined to be true to his word. He promised. He made vows when times were rough, and he will not forget. Whether or not the crowds follow his admonitions, he will make the praise coming from his lips glorious, not with mere words or volume, but with faithfulness and integrity. God came through for me, so I will come through for him. I will give substance to my praise. I will make it real, for I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Then, one last time, the psalmist turns. He spoke his piece to God, and now he turns back to us, all of us who will listen, to tell us his story. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. The psalmist wants us to know that God listens, but he makes it clear God doesn't listen when I cherish sin. Now he still hears. Isaiah 59 reminds us that his arm is not too short to help, and his ear is not too dull to hear. But our iniquities separate us from God. When my promises are surface only, but my heart holds on to sin, he knows it's empty. God isn't fooled by foam brick praise, but the psalmist was genuine, and God listened. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Read Psalm 66. Shout for joy and make his praise glorious.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.